Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
So now I think we're ready for Dracula. Oh my goodness. I have so many quotes for Dracula. This is terrible. But. I'm just going to kind of go through our document. And I know you have it too. The very first one. I really like this one. It's short. It's Van Helsing to Mina. There are darknesses in life, and there are lights, and you are one of the lights, the light of all lights. I mean, it's a little bit unctuous, and, you know, he's an old guy talking to a young girl, you know, a young woman. It's got some, it's pretty, it's nice. I like the darknesses in life, and there are lights, and you are a light, and that's important in the story, but it also has some undercurrents and themes that maybe are a little not so great, that don't, you know, jump out at the you know, when you're reading it, maybe you don't think that right away, but I think it would make great workshop fodder.
Okay, sure.
One of my favorite things I had to put in there, and I'm only going to read the highlighted part, is the what I consider to be the famous introduction that we get to Count Dracula. I don't know if it's famous in anybody's mind but my own, but he says, this is to Jonathan, "Welcome to my house. Enter freely and of your own will." He made no motion of stepping to meet me, but stood like a statue, as though his gesture of welcome had fixed him into stone. The instant, however, that I had stepped over the threshold, he moved impulsively forward, and holding out his hand, grasped mine with a strength which made me wince, an effect which was not lessened by the fact that it seemed as cold as ice, more like the hand of a dead than a living man. Again he said, "Welcome to my house. Come freely. Go safely and leave something of the happiness you bring." I just love that because, first of all, we know, because we know all about vampires because of this book, right, that Jonathan Harker, anybody has to come in of their own free will. Dracula can't cross the threshold and, you know, grasp him and embrace him and welcome him until he steps in. So that description of it unfolding in, quote, real time in Jonathan Harker's mind, I love that because we know what's going on. He doesn't. That's part of why I love it. And then I just love it because I think it is our first introduction to the Count Dracula's charm and how he gets, you know, people, draws people to him. He's effective with it. So, and it hints at that more like a dead than a living man, the cold hand. So, it gives us a lot of the story right away, you know. Important.
Yeah, no, I think that this is a good one because it tells us where a lot of that vampire lore has come from. Like, the fact that they're cold.
Yes.
The fact of, like you were mentioning, you know, can they enter?
Yes.
And I like the sensory details in there that could be very good artistically.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's good.
I like this one.
I'm going to skip down to chapter 5, Mina to Lucy. This is in a letter. A lot of a lot of this book is written as journal entries or letters between the characters. So, Mina writes to Lucy, her friend, "I'm longing to be with you and by the sea, where we can talk together freely and build our castles in the air." Okay. In a pandemic isolation situation, this is the dream of every single person who's separated from a loved one right now. So, I love that quote. That's a good one, you know. But it also, within the story, has elements of the friendship between these two women. the theme of female friendship. And, you know, this could, if you didn't know it was a woman to a woman, friend to friend, this could be a romantic, you could read this as a romantic missive. You know, this almost reads as though what, you know, someone would write to their heterosexual, homosexual lover, you know, but this is a friendship. And this speaks to how important female friendships are in the story, in culture, in our world. I think it's really powerful in that regard to look at it in terms of female empowerment and supporting each other and being there for each other. Does that make sense? Am I saying
it? It does. Yeah. I like it as a quote by itself. Mm-hmm. It definitely does not make me think of Dracula as a whole.
No.
It's not representative.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if this were our chosen quote, people would be like, who said that? You know?
Yeah.
Dracula said that? You know, so. okay. The next quote's a little bit longer, but it's the first time that Jonathan Harker sees the supernatural element, you know, and this is the beginning of, am I losing my mind? Am I my mind playing tricks on me? I've been isolated in this castle too long. What the heck's going on? Okay, so here it is. What I saw was the Count's head coming out from the window. I did not see the face, but I knew the man by the neck and the movement of his back and arms. In any case, I could not mistake the hands, which I had had some many opportunities of studying. I was at first interested and somewhat amused, for it is wonderful how small a matter will interest and amuse a man when he is a prisoner. But my very feelings changed to repulsion and terror when I saw the whole man slowly emerge from the window and begin to crawl down the castle wall over the dreadful abyss, face down, with his cloak spreading out around him like great wings. At first I could not believe my eyes. I thought it was some trick of the moonlight, some weird effect of shadow. But I kept looking, and it could be no delusion. I saw the fingers and toes grasp the corners of the stones, worn clear of the mortar by the stress of years, and by thus using every projection and inequality, move downwards with considerable speed, just as a lizard moves along a wall. Wow. Lots of visual, lots of emotion, lots of weirdness. I love that he talks about being a prisoner and that, you know, what he's trying to do to keep himself amused, you know.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was a very rich, rich quote. It's a little bit longer, but I think people would get it. I think people would get a lot out of it.
Yeah. I like that about equally with the first one. With the, you know, come on in quote.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it visits that lore. It has really great sensory details, mm-hmm. and visual details. The eeriness factor.
Yeah, yeah. Those two are my favorites so far. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we move on to the sexy stuff. I call it the sexy stuff because this whole passage is just, I've got the whole passage in here, the full quote at some point, but there's the scene that is always made much of in movies and television and anything visual. It's Jonathan Harker with the vampire women, if you will, and then Dracula comes in. So there are several quotes I'm gonna refer to. This is the shortest quote. Then she paused, and I could hear the churning sound of her tongue as it licked her teeth and lips, and I could feel the hot breath on my neck. Then the skin of my throat began to tingle as one's flesh does when the hand that is to tickle it approaches nearer, nearer. I could feel the soft shivering touch of the lips on the supersensitive skin of my throat and the hard dents of two sharp teeth just touching and pausing there. I closed my eyes in languorous ecstasy and waited with beating heart. Okay, he knows this is a vampire at this point. Jonathan Harker knows this is bad, and yet he's waiting with the beating heart. This speaks to so much, you know, repression and sexual repression and all that stuff, and the temptations and everything. I think it's really pretty amazing.
And I think that this is one of the things about vampires which had stayed very alive, mm-hmm. in how we view them today.
Yeah, exactly. Later on, down in within the fuller quote, I've got a highlighted passage, and this is I think this is a really good quote where Jonathan is still, he's in this situation with the women still. There was something about them. Remember, there's three of these vampire women in the room. There was something about them that made me uneasy, some longing and at the same time some deadly fear. I felt in my heart a wicked burning desire that they would kiss me with those red lips. It is not good to note this down, lest someday it should meet Mina's eyes and cause her pain. But it is the truth. That, I think that's a really interesting passage. Again, he's like journaling. It's, you know, it's private, but he's admitting, he's acknowledging the lust that he was feeling, and at the same time he knows it's wrong, it's wicked, there's something bad here. Plus there's that supernatural element that he knows they're, you know, he knows they're vampires or whatever. So, and they're basically, they're not, they don't want to have sex with him. They want to suck his blood, and they're kind of arguing about who gets to bite him first. And then the count comes in. And so this part that I'm going to read, I think is really, this passage is a little bit longer, but it's got a lot of passion, imagery, rage. There's a lot of subtext going on. And I think it's the probably one of the best, most blatant of the passages in this book that you could discuss homosexuality or homoeroticism, or, you know, the fact that that the count goes after men as equally as he goes after women. So the count has come in the room, and Jonathan has opened his eyes involuntarily. But the count, never did I imagine such wrath and fury, even to the demons of the pit. His eyes were positively blazing. The red light in them was lurid, as if the flames of hell fire blazed behind them. His face was deathly pale, and the lines of it were hard, like drawn wires. The thick eyebrows that met over the nose now seemed like a heaving bar of white-hot metal. With a fierce sweep of his arm, he hurled the woman from him and then motioned to the others as though he were beating them back. It was the same imperious gesture that I had seen used to the wolves. In a voice which, though low and almost in a whisper, seemed to cut through the air and then ring in the room, he said, "How dare you touch him, any of you? How dare you cast eyes on him when I had forbidden it? Back, I tell you all. This man belongs to me. Beware how you meddle with him, or you'll have to deal with me." And that's the first time we get the count, you know, is going after him for real. I mean, we know it. Jonathan knows it. And then just a little bit, just a paragraph later, the count turns and he says, in a soft whisper, "Yes, I too can love. You yourselves can tell it from the past. Is it not so? Well, now I promise you that when I am done with him, you shall kiss him at your will. Now go, go. I must awaken him, for there is work to be done." So he is equating the kissing, the sexual stuff, the count is, I mean, with the blood sucking and the seduction of another, of a human to feed these vampires. This is, again, like you said, the lore is being established, you know, but there's also this element of, you know, you get him when I'm done. I'm the king of this. I'm the boss, and male or female, this victim is mine first, you know. And I think that's kind of important too. So these are passages that I think would work in you know, in our discussions, but they're not by any means the be all end all of. There's so much in this book. Ugh.
Right. Yeah, I think I like the ones that are establishing lore. This one stands out to me because it does also address the love theme.
Yeah, if you want to call it that. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, the
abusive love theme, yeah. You know.
Dysfunctional.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
I have a theme for us this year, Alice. Why don't we go all Lady Gaga and call it Bad Romance?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so I think that is a good one. Yeah, so my next quote, I think, is really one of the first times that we see the true evil of Dracula, and we get when that he's not just this monstrous vampire, but he truly is like an enemy of humans and even God, if you will, because he's threatening them and telling them what will happen to them if they try to withstand him or fight him. I mean, it's practically, you know, it's biblical and poetic. I don't know. It's he's really playing on all of that. So The shorter quote, I don't really have the shorter quote. My pages are mixed up or something. But here is what I was thinking. And you, their best beloved one, are now to me flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood, kin of my kin, my bountiful wine press for a while, and shall later on. And shall later on be my companion and my helper. So that's the short quote. The longer quote is when he's really letting them have it. And so you, like the others, would play your brains against mine. You would help these men to hunt me and frustrate me in my design. You know now, and they know in part already, and will know in full before long, what it is to cross my path. They should have kept their energies for use closer to home. Whilst they played wits against me who commanded nations and intrigued for them and fought for them hundreds of years before they were born, I was countermining them. And you, their best beloved one, are now to me flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood, kin of my kin, my bountiful wine press for a while, and shall later on be my companion and my helper. You shall be avenged in turn, for not one of them shall minister to your needs. You have aided in thwarting me. Now you shall come to my call. So he's on the attack, right? He's going to take. And it gets pretty graphically horrible after that. You know, bad stuff happens. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the phrase "my bountiful wine press."
Yeah.
Yeah, that has a lot of potential there. Yeah.
And the he's echoing biblical quotes. You know, flesh of my flesh. You know, I mean, he's usurping, you know, God. It's really, really. There's a lot going on there in that one. In that quote. I think that's pretty good. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.